Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier. Welcome to KUAC's Alaska Almost Live. I'm your host, Lori Neufeld. Joining me for the conversation portion of Alaska Almost Live are the featured woodwind soloists from the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra performance of Carnival of the Animals, clarinetist April Gillette and flutist Dorley McQuain. And because of the pandemic, we are in separate studios and separate sessions, but we'll hear excerpts from the performance and the performance in its entirety. Hey, April Gillette, thank you so much for joining me here at KUAC Studios for Alaska Almost Live.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's great to be here.
Was this your first performance since the pandemic started with Carnival of the Animals and FSO?
Yes, it was. It's been a long year of practice by myself.
Yeah, I bet. Let's set the scene a little bit with Camille Saison's Carnival of the Animals. Even his name, he joked about, I guess in the intro, he even jokes about people called him Saint Sains, and
yeah.
It drove him pretty crazy, I bet.
Yeah, French names. I have a French name. It's hard to say, I know.
Yeah, did I get it right?
Yeah, you pronounced it the American way, so it works.
How do you prefer your name pronounced?
I go with the American way. In French, it's Jaillet, but no one would get it right. So we just go with Gillette.
Oh, goodness. So you can really feel for good old Camille, huh?
Yeah.
He wrote The Carnival of Animals as a fun piece, and it mm-hmm. is a fun piece.
Yeah, it's incredibly fun to play, and it's always fun when you have like a picture in your head of what you're supposed to be depicting, you know, like a specific animal you're supposed to be mocking or trying to be like, and that makes it a little more fun to play.
Yeah. I know for safety protocols, you were kind of enclosed in some plexiglass movable walls, but even with that, I bet it was a thrill to be on stage, on the Davis Concert Hall stage, with the strings and Edward at the piano and conducting.
Yeah, it was really fun to be back. It was kind of funny because I was sitting at the front of the stage, and so everyone who came in passed me, and I got to say hi to everyone. And I think I haven't been in a room with that many people in, you know, over a year. And so especially people I know that are my friends. And so it was so nice to see everyone and say hi. And just, you know, see some smiling faces. Well, not smiling, they're behind masks, but see their smiling eyes, I should say.
Right. And, well, you had to be behind all that plexiglass because mm-hmm. you play clarinet, and there's yeah. no way to play that with a mask on.
That's true. So I kept my mask on until I had to play, and I would take it off last minute. And I was facing the audience, so if there was any spray of any kind, it was going out to nowhere. So that was good. I wasn't spraying at violins or anything.
Right. And by audience, you mean you were facing out to where the cameras are, because
yes.
it was streaming that day mm-hmm. and it will be on KUAC
yeah.
TV this Sunday at 4.
Yeah.
So exciting. Well, speaking of you playing, you debut in the second movement, is that right, with the hens and the roosters?
Yes. I kind of have a rooster call at the end there. It's really funny. It's really high and kind of ugly, but it's very annoying, like a rooster would be.
Well, it's all part of the musical joke, right?
Exactly.
You come back as another bird again in movement 9 as the cuckoo, right?
Yes, the cuckoo. The clarinet and the cuckoo are really good friends. You know, in Beethoven's 6th symphony, there's a whole cuckoo thing with the clarinet. And in Mahler 1, there's a little bit of a cuckoo theme with the clarinet. And so Saint-Saëns, of course, there's the cuckoo. And I do it 21 times. And it's just the same two notes over and over again. And it's really cute. I like it. There was some serious counting involved, though, because you really have to count and listen to the piano and make sure you get it right.
You can get lost in that, I bet, 21 times.
I did the first time through. I was like, oh, no.
Was that 18 or 19? I don't even know.
Exactly.
Edward is conducting and narrating and playing piano mm-hmm. all at the same time.
Yeah, and he was behind me, so I couldn't see him because we, Dorley and I, are at the front of the stage. And so you really had to use your ears, which I had kind of forgotten how to do because I had been playing by myself for so long and just like making little videos at home by myself. And then once you get in the room, you're like, oh, no, I have to listen to people again and learn how to play with people other than myself.
And speaking of playing with other people, the movement Fossils is so fun. You come back on that mm-hmm. at the end of that movement, and the xylophone takes a big role in that, kind of like the bones yeah. of dinosaurs is what mm-hmm. I think of.
Yeah, I think that's what it's supposed to be depicting, mm-hmm. Like fossilized dinosaur bones. But I have a couple little, I think the most famous thing I do in there is a little French theme. It's a, I can't remember the title of the song. It's a little French song that just kind of floats on top of the fossil theme, which is really pretty.
Is that the part where Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star comes in too?
That's closer to the beginning of the movement, but yeah, I do that okay. as well. Yeah.
What is the significance of fossils in Carnival of the Animals? Is he making fun of people or poking fun? Or I mean, I know it's all a bit of a musical joke, but
I'm not sure if he's poking fun at anyone specifically. I don't know a whole lot about the history of the piece, but it is kind of awkward because all the other animals are, you know, they're actual animals, except there's one, the people with long ears, and I think he's definitely making fun of people in that one because it's about like people he didn't like or his critics or something like that. But
right. He also has a movement, the pianists.
Yes, the pianists, and they're just playing scales. It's pretty funny.
to laugh about how Edward is the narrator for this, so he's at the piano, and yeah. he plays these scales, and it ends really like on a weird chord. Mm-hmm. And
it's really intense, and it makes you a little uncomfortable when you end on a weird chord. I always get uncomfortable. It's like my students will play scales sometimes and they won't end on the right note. And you're like, oh my gosh, please just end on the right note. Like, I'm going to die. Like, you have to play the right note.
I love it. Is there a part of the Carnival of the Animals that you just love hearing, maybe a movement that you're not a part of, that the clarinet doesn't come in and play mm-hmm. an animal?
I think the swan is probably my favorite movement. Big cello solos in there. It's just so gorgeous. It's a really well-known part of the Carnival of Animals. I think if you aren't even familiar with the piece, you'll be familiar with that particular movement. It's played a lot at weddings and that kind of stuff.
Oh, at weddings, of yeah. course. The swan.
Yeah.
And that's the finale. Is that correct?
It's before the finale. Okay. Yeah. But it's absolutely gorgeous, and it's really like silky and smooth and just really nice to hear.
And who is the cellist soloist in that, in the FSO?
The entire cello section plays it. So, but Daniel Strasser is the principal cellist leading the section.
It is really a gorgeous piece. And there's a lot of parts of Carnival of the Animals that are very familiar from mm-hmm. Them being picked up in yeah. popular culture.
Yeah.
And like you said, the swan being played at many weddings, mm-hmm. You know, the bride is always so beautiful
yes.
in her white flowing gown. And yeah. Well, April, this has been so wonderful to chat about the Carnival of the Animals that you performed for streaming on Davis Concert Hall stage, and the whole concert, the Jack and Carol Wilbur concert, will be shown on KUAC TV 9.1 on Sunday. And we'll hear the piece in its entirety here during Alaska Almost Live also. So what should we be listening for your parts as a clarinetist?
I think pay attention to the cuckoo part. That's the most famous one. And I think it's the cutest one, too.
April, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Carnival of the Animals, clarinetist April Gillette and flutist Dorley McQuain. And because of the pandemic, we are separated by glass and studios and sessions. And Dorley, thank you so much for being here.
Well, it's a pleasure to be in your company through a wall of glass, kind of like the performance of the Carnival of the Animals.
Right. Is this your first time performing with others?
Actually, it was my second, because I had a chamber ensemble of flutists registered for a class this past semester, and we spent the whole semester playing underneath masks that are called humanity shields, which is plexiglass in the front and a little cloth neck piece that goes with it that makes you look like you're a flight attendant from Emirates Airlines. And I cut a hole in the cloth and we stuck the flute in there. And then we had big 6-foot-high plexiglass shields in front of us. But for our performance, our concert, we just stood behind the plexiglass shields and we took off our little Emirates headgear.
I do think I saw a picture of your headgear for COVID protocol safety for flutists. And wow, that's impressive. The lengths will go to play. And I get it.
And to play in person as opposed to... Because you cannot play simultaneously over the internet. There's too much of a lag.
Right. So. I know. And so... For Carnival of the Animals and the streaming of it and the recording of it and the whole concert, for Carnival of the Animals, the woodwinds, of course, you can't play with a mask on. So you are sectioned off with plexiglass walls from the rest of the strings and everyone.
Right. And since I was representing birds, I was in a cage, a little plexiglass cage. But the really strange thing was our little cages were in front of the orchestra and the conductor instead of behind the orchestra and the conductor.
Do you have eyes in the back of your head, Dorian?
Yeah, well, that's a mutation that we're working on at the moment.
That must have been tough because Edward was the narrator, conductor, and pianist, and so he had a lot to do.
Right.
And you have to come in at certain times because you're a soloist, and wow, it must have taken practice.
Well, actually, the clarinetist and I only went in for the last three rehearsals.
Wow.
Two rehearsals and a dress rehearsal, which was also filmed just in case it needed to be spliced in for any reason. But you just have to listen really carefully to what's going on behind you.
Yes. Dorley, are you part of the aquarium movement?
Actually, I was.
Yeah.
Lovely, peaceful. Imagine your little goldfish swimming around in your tank, giving you inner peace and everything else. Yes.
As I was listening to the aquarium movement, my husband walked through and he turned and he said, "That sounds like movie music." And I said, "Oh, funny you say that, because it's been a part of a few movies, I think, but recently maybe Fantasia 2000?
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't see that one. Right. But it's definitely, I mean, the Carnival of the Animals is definitely what you would call programmatic music, yes. Which was termed before there were movies, so yes, right. It could be movie music, yeah.
It evokes scenes of animals and aquarium. You know it when you hear it, because it is so evocative of fish swimming around and just so relaxing watching an aquarium.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm.
And the flute comes in as what... What animal in that aquarium do you think you are?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm an animal or if I'm gently swaying seaweed. I mean, because it's kind of just, it's very gentle. Yeah. I mean, it's either those lovely fins on a fancy goldfish or I'm the seaweed.
Just waving in right. The bubbles and mm-hmm. the, yes, that's great. A lot of parts the flute plays are, like you said, birds. And in aviary, the sound of the flute evokes bird flight, is what I thought.
Right. Not only bird flight, but a lot of birds. Like most pieces, if the flute's the bird, it's singing. It's being a nightingale. Mm-hmm. Occasionally we get to be a cuckoo.
The clarinet gets that one.
I know, right. Exactly. I tried to trade with April, but she wasn't buying that. But in this one, it's like a whole flock of birds.
Yeah.
And to me, it sounds like a whole flock of little, small birds.
Yeah. What birds do you imagine flying around?
What, like swallows.
Okay. Like, yes.
Yeah. Or yes. I suppose a horde of redpolls descending on the feeder.
For Alaskans, we can imagine both in different seasons. In winter, we can imagine the horde of redpolls. Here in summertime, we can imagine the swallows outside the Fine Arts Center here just swooping down, getting mosquitoes.
Yeah. Who knows if Sanson thought about it? Maybe that could be mosquitoes in that movement, too.
Saint-Saëns did write The Carnival of Animals as much a musical, whimsical joke, but not a joke on, like, animals, but a joke about music, how it can be, how it can sound like animals.
Or he wrote it as a joke about people.
Yeah,
because
right.
The titles, it doesn't, even though it sounds like a donkey for the strings, it's not called the donkey. It's just called People with Long Ears.
It's called People with Long Ears.
Yeah. Right. And then he does the opposite, where for pianists, he treats pianists as if they're a separate species or a separate kind of animal.
The pianists as their beasts.
Yeah.
Yes. And it is so fun because Edward introduces every piece too during the performance of this.
Right, with the Ogden Nash poetry, which of course came way after Saint-Saëns, but it's still so appropriate. It's just the funniest little group of poems. And they're not limericks, they're a combination of a limerick, a joke, and a poem.
Yes, yes. And so that part was added way after.
I believe so, but don't quote me on dates.
Well, for one thing I do know about Carnival of the Animals was it was performed privately and it was published posthumously.
Because Saint-Saëns did not want it published during his lifetime. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is kind of different from, I think, the way composers would look at things these days.
Yeah.
But I guess he took himself maybe, or he wanted his public persona to be more serious.
Yeah. But he did say it was okay to publish it after he passed on, right?
I don't know for sure.
Yeah, me neither. Well, that's an interesting one. So you play the part of in the aquarium, in the aviary, and what are some parts of Carnival of the Animals that you're not playing during, that you just enjoyed being there, part of the performance?
Oh, I love the fossils, where the xylophonist is the bones, pretending to play on the bones, yeah.
That is so cool. I just love that. And your xylophonist is who in this case, part of FSO?
He is. He's also the percussion professor at the university. It's Sean Dalgray, and of course he's just fantastic. So it's totally enjoyable. And the little prelude Ogden Nash poem about the extinct critters in the museum is, I think, just one of the funniest ones of that whole set.
It is really fun, I have to say. And I enjoy the lions because you can hear them roaring.
Yep.
It's just, Saint-Saëns was a master at capturing how animals sound in such a small ensemble.
Yeah, and not only how they sound, but kind of their persona or their essence.
Their essence, I was going to say. Yeah. It's such a cool piece. Thank you, Dorley.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this.
I can't wait to hear it here with you out there in Radioland on Alaska Almost Live. And this is the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra performing Camille Saint-Saëns' Carnival of the Animals, and it features Dorley McQuain, flute, and April Gillette, clarinet.
Camille Saint-Saëns was racked with pains when people addressed them as Saint-Saëns. He held the human race to blame because it could not pronounce his name. So he turned to metronome and fife to glorify other forms of life. Be quiet, please, for here begins his salute to feathers, furs, and fins. The lion is the king of beasts and husband to the lioness. Gazelles and things on which he feasts address him as your highness. There are those that admire that roar of his in the African jungle and veldt. But I think wherever a lion is, I'd rather be somewhere else. The rooster is a roistering hoodlum. His battle cry is kakadoodleum. Hands in pockets, cap over eye, he whistles at poulets passing by. Have you ever harked to the Jackass Wild, which scientists call the onager? It sounds like a laugh of an idiot child or a hapcat on a harmonica. But do not smear at Jackass Wild. There is method in his hee-haw. For with maidenly blush and accent mild, Jenny-ass answers she-haw. Come, crown my brow with leaves of myrtle. I know that tortoise is a turtle. Come, carve my name in stone immortal. I know that tortoise is a turtle. I know to my profound despair, I bet on one to beat a hare. I also know I'm now a pauper because of its turtly, tortly torpor. Elephants are useful friends, equipped with handles at both ends. They have a wrinkled moth-proof hide. Their teeth are upside down, outside. If you think elephant preposterous, you probably have never seen a rhinoceros. Kangaroo can jump incredible. He has to jump because he's edible. I could not eat a kangaroo, but many fine Australians do. Those with cookbooks as well as boomerangs prefer them in tasty kangaroo meringue. Thank you. Some fish are minnows. Some are whales. People like dimples. Fish like scales. Some fish are slim. Some are round. They don't get cold and they don't get drowned. But every fishwife fears for her fish. What we call mermaids, they call merfish. In the world of mules, there are no rules. Cuckoos live bohemian lives. They fail as husbands and as wives. Therefore, they cynically disparage everybody else's marriage. Puccini was Latin, and Wagner Teutonic. And birds are incurably philharmonic. Suburban yards and rural vistas are filled with avian Andrew sisters. The skylark sings a rondelay. The crow sings the road to Mandalay. The nightingale sings a lullaby, and the seagull sings a gullaby. That's what shepherds listened to in Arcadia before somebody invented the radio. Some claim pianists are human, and claim the case of Harry Truman. Saint-Saëns, upon the other hand, consider them a scurvy band. Ape-like they are, he said, and simian instead of normal men and women. At midnight in the museum hall, some fossils gathered for a ball. There were no drums or saxophone, but just the clatter of their bones, a roaring, rattling, carefree circus of mammoth polkas and mazurkas. Pterodactyls and brontosauruses sang ghostly prehistoric choruses. Amid a mastodonic wassail, I caught an eye of one small fossil. "Cheer up, sad world," he said, and winked. "It's kind of fun to be extinct." Thank you. one can swim while sitting down, for pure conceit he takes the crown. He looks in the mirror over and over and claims to have never heard of Pavlova. Now we reach the grand finale. Animali Carnavali. Noises new to sea and land issue from this skillful band. All the strings contort their features, imitating crawly creatures. All the brasses look like mumps from blowing oompa oompa umps. In outdoing Barnum and Bailey and Ringling, Sansal has done a miraculous thing.
Thank you.
What a wonderful performance of Camille Saint-Saëns' Carnival of the Animals by the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra, and featuring my guests from Alaska Almost Live today, April Gillette, clarinet, and Dorley McQuain. Thanks to Jack and Carol Wilbur for sponsoring this concert, and you can watch it in its entirety this weekend, Sunday at 4 on KUAC TV 91. I'd also like to thank Gary Toth for the recordings and wish Gary a very happy retirement. Also, Jenny Warren, Managing Director of the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra, for making these concerts on KUAC possible. And thanks again to my guests, April Gillette and Dorley McQuain. For KUAC's Alaska Almost Live, I'm your host, Lori Neufeld. Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, strengthening the community through support of the arts.